On today's program, Andrew Womack will inspire you to reach out and take the healing that is yours in Jesus Christ. God wants you well, and that's the gospel truth. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the gospel truth. Today, I'm into my fourth week of teaching on God Wants You Well, and I've already covered a lot of material. I've shown to my satisfaction that it is God's will for you to be well. We've talked about a lot of things. And last week, I started talking about, well, if it's God's will for every person to be healed, then why isn't everyone healed? And I've been talking about this for quite a while. I've been using Matthew chapter 17, where there was a man who brought his demon-possessed son to the disciples for them to cast this spirit out so that he could be healed of some type of a thing that caused seizures, and they couldn't cast him out. And they asked Jesus why they couldn't cast him out. And in Matthew chapter 17 and in verse 20, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Now, there are some translations that say because of your little faith, but that's missing the point. You don't need big faith. The rest of this verse goes on to say, if your faith is only the size of a mustard seed, if it's tiny, that's enough to do these awesome big things, big miracles, if you don't have any unbelief counterbalancing it. And this is the point that I started making, that most people don't understand how unbelief drags us down. It dilutes, it pollutes, it negates the faith that we have. You don't need a huge faith. I've seen people raised from the dead, and I don't have a big faith. But you know what I am trying to do? I am standing against unbelief. I come against the doubt and the fear, and I have intentionally tried to unplug myself from all of the things in this world that dilute my faith and that hinder me from believing. Anyway, I could spend a lot more time on that, but this is what I started talking about yesterday, and I want to use this illustration to help make this point, that I have seen three people raised from the dead, including my own son, raised from the dead after he was dead for 5 hours. And I believe in the supernatural power of God. The very first person I saw raised from the dead was in Pritchett, Colorado. And not long after I'd seen this great miracle of this person being raised from the dead, the sheriff was there trying to get his oxygen mask and all of his defibrillator and all of this kind of stuff out. And the sheriff was standing there, and I walked in and just commanded this guy back to life. And he sat up and was supernaturally well. And anyway, not long after I saw that, I was in Omaha, Nebraska, and I was holding a meeting. And I figured that if you could see a man raised from the dead, that you could see anything happen. And I remember as I was preaching, down to my left on the front row, there was a man who was in a wheelchair. And I thought, if I could see a man raised from the dead, I can see this guy come out of the wheelchair. And I could hardly wait on myself to get through preaching so that I could go over and pray for this guy. And I was going to see this guy walk. And I went over and grabbed him by the hand, and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And I grabbed this man and just yanked him out of this wheelchair. And he just went up like this and right over and fell on his face. He was paralyzed. He couldn't catch himself. It was terribly embarrassing. I was absolutely humiliated. Plus, I felt compassion for this guy. I had just pulled this guy out of the wheelchair and he fell on his face. Everybody in the audience gasped, and you could just feel the unbelief. And you know what I did? He was a big guy, and I got down on my hands and knees, and I grabbed him around the chest and hugged him and wrestled him and put him back in his wheelchair and said, I'm sorry. Depart in peace. Be warmed and filled. But I didn't give him what he needed. And he left there in that wheelchair. And I went to the hotel room, just totally perplexed, just like these disciples. And I was asking, God, why didn't this work? You know, the simple answer that most people would give, well, you just didn't believe. Well, give me a break. How many people have you gone up and grabbed out of a wheelchair and pulled them out and let them fall on their face? You know what? You can say what you want to, but I was there. I know what I was believing. It never crossed my brain that this guy would not walk. I was expecting him to walk. I had faith. And yet, I didn't see the right results. You don't grab a person out of a wheelchair like that if you don't have faith. I know some of you would still argue with me, but you can just say what you want to. I know that there was faith. I know prior to me believing God and building my faith and learning these truths, I would have never have done anything like this. That wasn't my personality. That's not the kind of person I am. I'm at heart an introvert, very timid, naturally, and that was just not me. I had faith. I expected this man to walk. I pulled him out of that wheelchair and he fell on his face. And I was asking God why. And it took me about 3 years. Not because God didn't speak, but I'm just dull of hearing. It took me a while to figure it out. And actually, it came to me while I was reading a book about Smith Wigglesworth. This book was written by his son-in-law, and he told about how Smith Wigglesworth started his services by saying the first person to get up here on the stage will be healed of whatever it is that you need to be healed of. And he would pray for them and see great miracles, and that would get the people's attention. And then he'd preach and tell them how it worked, and then he would have a prayer line at the end where he prayed for all of the rest of the sick. But that's the way that he would do his services to get everybody's attention. And so these people knew that he was going to do this. And there was an elderly woman who had some type of a tumor, a cancer, and she looked like she was 9 months pregnant, just huge, right in her belly. And she was so weak that she couldn't even sit up by herself, much less stand. So she had two friends, one on each side, that were having to hold her up even when she sat. And when Smith Wigglesworth made this statement, said, the first person to get up here on the stage will be healed of whatever you've got, these two women grabbed their friend and they put her up on the stage. And so they were the first ones up there. And Smith started to minister to this woman. And the way he did it, he told those two women that were beside her, he says, let her go. And these women said, we can't let her go. She's too weak. She can't stand on her own. And Smith raised his voice and said, let her go. And so they let her go. And this woman fell flat on her face on top of that tumor and let out this cry of pain. And you know what? It was just exactly like when I pulled that man out of the wheelchair and he fell on his face. There were moans, groans of unbelief. You could cut the unbelief with a knife. And you know what Smith did? He just said, pick her up. You know what I did when I pulled a man out of a wheelchair and he fell on his face? I crumbled. I got into fear because I was embarrassed. I knew that he was embarrassed. I felt like I'd misrepresented God. I was moved by what everybody else felt and thought. Let me read this verse to you out of John chapter 5 in verse 44. Jesus was speaking and he says, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God alone? Jesus was saying, if you are seeking honor from men, if what people think about you is important to you, it'll stop you from believing. If you're worrying about what everybody else thinks about you, it'll stop you from believing. You have to get to a place where all you care about is God and all you believe is God. And it doesn't matter if the rest of the world is going a different direction. You go the direction that God tells you to go. And if you aren't, if you are being influenced by people's opinion, you aren't in faith. You're in fear. You're a man pleaser. And you know what happened? The difference between when I ministered to that man and when Smith Wigglesworth ministered to this woman, I don't believe that Smith had an ounce more faith than I had. You know the difference? He had much less unbelief. He was hardened towards what people thought about him. As a matter of fact, the son-in-law who wrote this book about Smith Wigglesworth said that one of the characteristics that he used to describe Smith Wigglesworth was that he was hard. People said he was hard. And you know what that means? The word hard, when you apply it to emotional type of things, it means cold, insensitive, unfeeling or unyielding. Smith Wigglesworth wasn't sensitive to what everybody else thought about him. He didn't care. And you know what? I did care. And when I prayed for a person, I didn't get any worse results than Smith Wigglesworth did with this woman. This woman fell on her face on top of that tumor. This man fell on his face because he couldn't walk. It was the exact same thing. I didn't have any less faith. Smith Wigglesworth didn't have any more faith. You know, the difference was that when that happened, I let fear in, I let unbelief in, and it diluted and counterbalanced my faith and negated it. Smith Wigglesworth, how did he respond? He said, pick her up. So these women picked up their friend And they had their friend standing in between them. And the second time, Smith Wigglesworth looked at him and says, "Let her go." And they said, "We won't let her go." And he yelled and he says, "I said, let her go." And they let her go. And this woman fell on her face again on top of that tumor. The second time, no visible manifestation, no proof that she was healed. And all of the people moaned and groaned again. You know what Smith did? He said, "Pick her up." So they picked her up the third time. And they were standing there holding their friend up. And he said, "Let her go." And they said, "We will not let her go." And he said, "I said, let her go." And they refused to do it. And finally, a man in the audience stood up and he said, "You beast, leave this poor woman alone." And Smith yelled at him and he says, "You mind your own business. I know my business." And then he yelled at those women and said, "I said, let her go." And they let her go. And as she started to fall, that tumor just fell out of her dress on the floor and she walked off healed. Let me suggest to you that Smith Wigglesworth didn't have an ounce more faith than I had. The difference was he had less unbelief. He had spent so much time in the presence of God and separated himself from people and what they thought about him to such a degree that he just had mustard seed amount of faith, but it wasn't counterbalanced by fear of people and sense of failure and all of these other kind of things that hindered me from ministering to that man in the wheelchair. Man, I hope that you understand what I'm saying. The truth is that if you believe God wants you well, if you understand about speaking to your mountain, Mark chapter 11, verse 23, about your confession, about acting in faith, and you shall have it, and that there may be a period of time, and if you understand some of these very basics, if you just have the simplest understanding of healing, then you've got enough faith to see the dead raised, the blind eyes open, the deaf ears open. It's really not that you have a faith problem. It's that you have an unbelief problem. We are too plugged into this world. We get all of the criticism, all of the people. There are some of you that have been told that healing is of the devil and that God doesn't do this. And even though you now have renewed your mind and you know you've got faith and you know that God wants people well, you still have this little twinge of doubt in the back of your mind that, man, this might be the devil working through me. Boy, that's so stupid. I'm not meaning that to be mean to people. I'm just saying it's amazing how we get polluted by stuff. If healing was of the devil, then why don't you go into the bars and see all of those people in there getting well? Why don't we go into all of the strip joints and see all of the people receiving miraculous healing and blind eyes open and deaf ears open? Man, healing's not of the devil, and yet some of you have been taught that, and even though you now know that, no, it's God's will to heal, you haven't totally gotten rid of this unbelief, and this little bit of unbelief is negating and canceling out your faith. It takes some effort to get rid of unbelief. We live in a world of unbelief. I know that there's a lot of people that wouldn't agree with that assessment, and you're welcome to your opinion. I'm not going to criticize you for that, but I'm not going to agree with you or we'd both be wrong. Amen. I'm telling you, our world is full of unbelief. And when you start making a stand and believing for the supernatural and for people to be raised from the dead and blind eyes open and start talking about God being real and you start acting like a Christian, like a believer, I guarantee you there's going to be people that will think you've absolutely lost your mind. They will come against you. And the sad fact is, most of us are too plugged into this carnal, unbelieving world. And we know all of these wrong attitudes and values. We've heard them. And we are so exposed to it that it becomes a negative that hinders our faith from working. And this is what Jesus was saying to these disciples. They said, "Why couldn't we cast him out?" It was obvious they had faith. They had cast other demons out. And this time they spoke and did the same thing and they didn't see the right results. And Jesus said, "It's because of your unbelief." Now, let's turn over to Mark chapter 9 and let me read this same instance. In verse 20, it says, "They brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming." And so this boy, when he was brought to Jesus, these demons manifested themselves and he had some type of a seizure and there was this visible manifestation. The scripture here, Jesus told his disciples, "It's your unbelief that's the problem. It doesn't tell why they had unbelief, and this is me reading between the lines. I'll tell you, this is Andy-ology. But I believe that what happened was they saw this demon did the same thing to them that he did to Jesus, and he tore this boy. This boy had a seizure. And when they saw something contrary to what they believed and contrary to what they had been told by Jesus, when what they saw didn't match up with what they were believing, they were just simply dominated by their sense knowledge. I believe that that's where their unbelief came from. I don't know if you've ever been around somebody who had a seizure. But if I was around a person that had a grand mal seizure, a friend of mine, I guarantee you, it'll make all the hair stand up on the back of your neck. It's scary. And if there is any sensitivity to unbelief and sensitivity to something that looks contrary to what the Word of God says, when you see something like a seizure, I guarantee you, your unbelief is going to rise to the surface. And I believe that this is what happened with these disciples. They spoke, they did what they were supposed to do, and they did have faith, but when this boy was torn by this demon and had some type of a seizure, their unbelief just rose to the top. And that's what stopped them from seeing this healing. You know, imagine this with me. Imagine these two little, like, thermometer things right here, you know, like we use to, gauge the temperature outside. One of them is for your faith level. The other one is for unbelief. Most people only acknowledge their faith level. And if they run up against a problem and if they pray and if they don't see something come to pass, the average person says, well, I just don't have enough faith. I believe that that's a wrong assessment based on what Jesus said right here in Matthew 17:20, where he says, if your faith is only the size of a mustard seed, you should say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it should remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. I don't think you need to just build your faith the way most people envision. But see, this is how most people would approach it. If they had a physical healing, and if they prayed and tried to believe for that healing and didn't see it manifest, their first reaction is, well, I just need more faith. So they start trying to build their faith. They may go to a prayer chain and get a dozen people or 100 people to pray for them and basically pool all of their faith so that they can receive this miracle from God. The reason that it's like that is because most people don't even acknowledge this unbelief that's over here. And you know, the Bible says that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I think that's 1 Corinthians chapter 5. A little bit of sin goes a long ways. A little bit of unbelief can hinder a lot of faith. And some people don't have this concept, but it was true even of Jesus. In Mark chapter 6, verse 5, it says, and he could do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk, and he marveled because of their unbelief. It didn't say that he wouldn't do it. It said he couldn't do it because of their unbelief. Their unbelief. He didn't have any unbelief in him. Jesus was operating in faith perfectly, and yet the unbelief of the people he was trying to minister to kept his faith from working. So a little bit of unbelief goes a long way. If that was true of Jesus, who was operating perfectly in the power of God, and if he couldn't or wouldn't overcome the unbelief of the people he was ministering to, well, then you aren't going to be able to do better than Jesus. You've got to get rid of unbelief. This is why when Jesus went in the 5th chapter of the book of Mark to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead, the people were mocking him when he said, she's not dead, she's just asleep. They laughed him to scorn. They scorned him. You know what that is? That's unbelief. They were mocking him and calling him weird and saying, you don't know what you're talking about. And Jesus put out all of the people who mocked and only allowed the father and the mother and 3 of his disciples to come in with him. Just the core, the ones that he knew were strong in faith. You know why? Because he had to separate that unbelief so that his faith could work. And he didn't have just a tiny mustard seed amount. Jesus had the total amount of faith, and yet he had to separate the unbelief from his faith to get his faith to work, and Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. You can see the same thing happen with Peter when he raised Dorcas from the dead. He put out everybody else, and he sought solitude. The same thing happened with Elijah. The same thing happened with Elisha. Elijah was in 1 Kings chapter 17. He raised the widow's son from the dead. Elisha, all of these people sought seclusion. They put out the unbelievers. And I'm not talking about just wicked people, but even people, the mother of the child. He separated them because he didn't want somebody in there who was grieving and sorrowing. He put out people and he got by himself so that his little mustard seed amount of faith could work. I tell you, this has just changed my life, this approach. Because one thing, instead of me now feeling like, well, I know faith works, the problem is I just don't have any of it. I don't have enough of it. Now I understand that I was given faith when I was born again. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. I have the faith of the Son of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. I have the measure of faith. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have the same faith that Paul used. I've got faith. Faith is not my problem. You know what my problem is? That I have let this world influence me too much. I have too many values and too much junk from this world in me. Too much care about what other people think and stuff. And I have to get rid of that. And this has really changed my life. It's encouraged me that my little mustard seed amount of faith is enough. And you can sit there and criticize me and say, well, how dare you say that? But, you know, I've seen three people raised from the dead personally. I've seen dozens of people raised from the dead through people that I know and things like that. But I mean, personally, people that I've prayed for, I've seen three people raised from the dead. Until you start getting better results, don't be critical of me. I've seen up to 30 people healed of deafness in one service and blind eyes open and miracles happen. I'm not perfect in this area, but I have seen my faith work. This is working for me. And the thing that is, it has built me up so much to know that I've got faith. It's not a faith problem. It's an unbelief problem. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. Unbelief comes basically the same way. It comes by hearing. If you're focused on the Word of God, faith is going to rise and be stronger in your life. If you're focused on all of the junk that the world has to say, all of their weirdness, all of their political correctness, all of their false values, all of their immorality, all of that allows unbelief to come. It doesn't have to be like people just saying that healing is of the devil. Just have people over here saying, you know, not everybody gets healed. It's not God's will every time. You know what that is? That's unbelief, and it'll plant a doubt on the inside of you. Let people say things like, well, yeah, God heals, but you just aren't worthy enough. You haven't been praying enough. You haven't sought the Lord enough. You haven't lived holy enough. That's unbelief, and it'll counterbalance your faith. Just let, you know, any type of ungodliness, it doesn't have to be total rejection or sin. Just be normal. Be natural. And I guarantee you, natural people do not believe. They have a natural unbelief that goes against the things of God. You are going to have to overcome that if you want to really start seeing the supernatural power of God manifest in your life. You know, I'm sharing some things with you that are just priceless. This is important. And there is so much more. All I'm doing is laying a foundation, and I have put together what we've called a better health care package. That not only is the teaching on God wants you well, but there are DVDs that have many testimonies of people that have been miraculously healed. It's an entire package, so listen as our announcer gives you that information, and please call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, God Wants You Well, is available in a brand new book for a gift of $14 or more. Request book number T330 when you contact us. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T430. The entire series is also available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is available for a gift of $30 or more. Request item T1036C for the CDs or item T1036D for the DVDs. Or you can receive the book, study guide, and album as part of the Better Healthcare Package. The package includes your choice of either the CD or DVD series, the new God Wants You Well book, along with a companion study guide, plus Healing Journeys Volume 1 and Volume 2, and the Healing Scriptures CD. The entire package has a catalog value of $136, but today we'd like to offer it to you for a gift of $100 or more. To get the Better Healthcare Package, request item T4505. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The third teaching in the God Wants You Well CD series titled, Why Isn't Everyone Healed? Is available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, there's a lot of material that I have on the healing, and this package that we've put together called a Better Healthcare Package is, of course, going to help you, but you could even go beyond that. And on our website, I have all of this teaching that I'm doing on television about healing right there. You can watch those free of charge on our website. There's also a lot of material. I've got over 300 of my teachings available as free MP3 downloads. We've got daily devotionals. We've got a lot of materials. It is a tremendous site. And if you really are wanting to know about healing, I tell you, it'll make a big difference. Plus, we got this brand new book. So please check out our website. The address is right there on the screen.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar May 13th through the 15th and in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp May 28th through the 31st. He'll also be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Summer Family Bible Conference June 28th through July 2nd and in Minneapolis, Minnesota for a Gospel Truth Seminar July 15th through the 17th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to join us tomorrow as we present the dramatic healing journey of Hannah Terades.
Day one, we knew that Hannah was going to be special. She was a child that surprised us right from her conception.
I suppose it really started when we realised Hannah was ill, and we realised she was seriously ill.
She was a funny colour, and I didn't say anything to Carly at the time, but I felt uneasy about what she looked like.
It really got quite stressful because as grandparents we were quite worried about her.
She wasn't feeding, she'd take maybe a couple of sucks of her formula and then she would just not be interested. Or if she'd drink any, she'd then vomit it straight back up again. And at the age of about three and a half, she was about the same size as a nine-month-old baby.
Some people were telling me that, you know, God wanted to heal her, but sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't. I was getting all different types of advice.
That's tomorrow on The Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack.